Well, our pastor and his dear wife are on a much deserved and much needed vacation, and so we're here today as a church family to celebrate communion together. And, you know, pastor always receives an offering during this time as far as just exhorting you. We know that pastor always says we don't pass the buckets in here. If you give, it's because you love God. It's because you care about other people. And so in the light of receiving communion in a little bit today, my heart was reminded of John 3:16 and 3:17 concerning giving, where it simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that awesome? That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then it goes on and says, for God didn't send his Son into the world to beat the world down or condemn the world. Isn't that good? But he sent his Son so that through his Son the world might be saved. And so the Lord told it to me like this. He said that God so loved that he gave to save. And you know, when it describes Jesus in the scriptures, it says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission in life. And you know what? Jesus checked out when he went to be with the Father, but that mission is still the same. He comes to seek and save that which was lost. In other words, aren't you glad that God loves you so much that he won't leave you like you are right now? The word says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. It says it's God that's working in you all the time, 24/7. It's God working in you both to will. Have you ever felt like quitting or giving up? Well, God is just going to keep on working in you both to will, to rise up again and to stand up again and to dream again and to hope again and to pray again and to love again and to reach out again and to bless again. That's how he is. God so loved that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son that by believing in him we would not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Because he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, beat the world over the head and tell them how bad they are. You know, listen, when you miss it, you don't need a committee to come tell you. You know it. But when the Lord comes to you, he never beats you over the head, never condemns you, never talks down to you, but he always loves on you and says, hey, it's all right. Amen. Everybody, all have sinned and come short. So when you get ready to put your offering into the receptacles on the way out today, just keep that in mind, that God so loved you that he gave his Son just for you, and that you love the people outside these four doors so much that you're willing to give so someone else can hear the good news. Someone else can be touched by the love of God. Someone else can be encouraged by what's being preached and taught from the pulpit. So the church is a good place to be. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we can tell you today without any hesitation, Jesus is in the house today. Well, some of you got that. Come on, you can do better than that. If Jesus came in the back door and walked right down here and stood at the altar, how would you respond to that? Amen. See, we walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I right in the middle of it all. So Jesus is here to do his thing today. Glory to God. In a little while, when we receive communion, he's not only going to be there at the table, he's the one that's putting the whole thing together. And Jesus, our Savior, is going to be right there at the table with us receiving communion. So we're going to pray over the offering. And when you go out, when you put that seed into that receptacle out there, just say, thank God. God so loved that he gave to save. I so love that I give to save. Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time of being able to come together, and Lord, to give you glory and honor. You said, Father, whatever we would do in word or deed, to do it all in the name of the Father, giving glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, right now we just thank you, Lord, for this offering that people are going to be seeding to in a little bit here. And we thank you, Lord, that when we give in love and give in faith, as pastor always says, that you take that super and put it on our natural, and our offering becomes supernatural. Because you said you give seed to the sower and you'll multiply the seed that's sown, and that you'll increase the fruits of our righteousness, and you said you would cause it to abound. And Father, you said that if we would give, you'd give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, you'd cause men to give into our bosom. You said, with the same measure that we meet with all, it'll be measured back to us again. So we're glad, Lord, to know today that every seed you've ever given us was designed to multiply and increase in our lives. And so we just thank you, Lord, and we rejoice right now that our giving counts big in the kingdom of God. And when we plant that seed, Lord, you fully expect us to put our faith on it for a harvest from that seed of souls and every good thing coming into our life, because you said in your word that if we would seek first the advancement of your kingdom worldwide and your righteousness, staying in right standing with you, Lord, you said everything that we would ever need would be added onto us. So we thank you for that, Father. And as we're getting ready to receive this word, Lord, concerning communion, we thank you right now, Lord, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit, our teacher, helps us to teach your word by your Spirit to touch every heart in this place. Your word promises us that the word and the Spirit agree. So, Lord, let the word bear witness with their hearts today that they're receiving from you, Lord, and not from a man. And, Lord, as always, we'll be careful to give you and you alone all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to receive communion in a little bit. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, I said this in the first service, he was on the road to Damascus one day, and he was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And as he was doing what he thought was the will of God, and he obviously wasn't, the way I tell it is this, that God basically knocked him off his high horse. And he's lying on his back and he's looking up towards heaven. And he asked a silly question. He said, "Now, Lord, is that you?" And the Lord looked right down at him and he said, "Saul." He said, "You need to get a hold of this. Isn't it hard to kick against the pricks?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, it is. It's tough going the way I've been going. Life has not been the way that it should be." And so he said, "I want you to know that in spite of you being such a bad guy in your own heart and in your own mind, I've never given up on you and I've never quit on you and I've never pulled my call that I had from the time you were born on your life." And he said, "I want you to know that here's my call for you. I'm calling you out of darkness and into light. I'm calling you from the power of Satan onto the power of God. I'm calling you to receive forgiveness of all of your sins. And I'm calling you to receive what is your rightful inheritance among the saints." And when he got that call from heaven, the Bible goes on in that same little text and it says that Paul was not disobedient onto that heavenly vision. He knew that when God had talked to his heart that day, that his life would never be the same. And you know, he had such an encounter with the Spirit of God that he went to the backside of the desert and he spent time with him and the Lord just getting tight. And you know, he didn't walk with the Lord Jesus like the 12 disciples did, but he had another encounter by the Spirit of God. And this is something that I told the first service and I'm going to tell you. When he was on the backside of the desert, just him and the Lord, and he was fellowshipping with the Lord, he got to know the Holy Spirit in a very intimate way. And most of the New Testament that we read about and study was given by revelation of the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul, so that when we read in the epistles, and we read from the book of Acts all the way into Revelation, most of that was given by inspiration to the Apostle Paul. And so he had such a relationship with the Lord that it was later on when we talk about communion, when in that text he says, "For I have received from the Lord that which was also given unto me." He said that the same night in which he was betrayed, he broke that bread and he said, this is my body which is broken. It's given for you." And they drank the cup and he said, "This is symbolic of the blood that is being shed for you." You know, when you come into a church like this, and then when you leave and you begin to study the scriptures for yourself, one of the things that the Lord reminded me was, just like the Apostle Paul, just think about that. He didn't walk with Jesus like the other 12 did, but yet he had more revelation than probably all of them put together. And how did he have that? Because he allowed the Holy Spirit to be his teacher. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a child of God, having the Spirit of God in you, You guys, if you're reading in the New Testament, you know that the Bible says the Holy Spirit's job is to lead and guide you. His job is to lead and guide you into all truth. But it's also His job to show you things to come. And it's also His job to bring all things back to your remembrance, whatever you've been taught by the Holy Spirit. You say, why is that important? Because one of the revelations that the Lord gave him here in the receiving of the communion, he made this statement. He says, as often as you receive communion, as often as you take these elements and receive them, he says, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of who I was and what I said and what I did. And why is that important? Well, the reason why it's important to go back to the scriptures and remind yourself what Jesus said and what he did and how he lived, the promises that he made. The reason why it's important for you to go back to it again and again is to keep everything he did fresh in your heart and for Jesus to teach you what his salvation bought and paid for concerning your life. And so it's very, very important as a child of God that you go back, especially to look at the life of Jesus and remember what he did and remember what he said. Remember how he preached. Remember how he ministered to people. Because however he ministered to people is how he wants to minister to you. Whatever miracles you read about that he did in the Bible when he was here the first time in his body is the same thing that he desires to demonstrate in the here and in the now. I'm here to tell you today, my Jesus is a miracle-working God that changes not. He still opens up blind eyes. He still opens up deaf ears. He raises the dead. He cleanses the lepers. And he cures the incurable by what the doctors can say and do. So he said, when you come to the table to receive these elements, put yourselves in remembrance. Now, I don't know how great some of you are as far as remembering things, but in our house, one of our hang-ups for a long time was never remembering where the keys were. And my wife is a lot more organized than I am. And after going through so many times of waiting to the last minute to run out the door to get our child to school or to an activity or to meet someone at an appointment, waiting till the very last moment and getting ready to run out the door, and then all of a sudden you realize, where's the keys? Well, we had to have a better plan. And so my wife went out and bought a little key holder. And we put it right inside the garage door, so when we walk in the door, no matter if my keys are in my pocket or in my jacket, when I walk through that door, the first thing I do is I take the keys out and I put them in the same spot every time. That was worth the trip to church this morning. Amen. Or have you ever had a doctor's appointment or maybe an appointment for somebody's birthday, a family, a loved one? And it comes right up to that very day, and you're just about your business. You're just doing your thing. And all of a sudden, now your cell phone, you get a text message or someone calls you up. And you say hello, or you look at the text, and it says, hey, why aren't you here? And you're looking at that, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I forgot. Well, that's why it's important that you remember what Jesus did, because every one of us that are in here, we can have those promises that belong to us concerning being saved and delivered and all these other things, but we need to go back and find out what belongs to us, and we need to stay reminded of it. Amen. Tell your neighbor, our memory can always get better because the Holy Spirit wants us to remember all His benefits. Amen. Years ago, there was a rock and roll song, and it says, remember. Anyway, the older ones, you're with me. You know what I'm talking about. You younger ones, you're looking at me like, what's he talking about? Anyway, praise the Lord. All good things come from him. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. This was in the Old Testament, and it was prophesied about Jesus and what he would do. We're just going to put ourselves in remembrance just for a minute here before we receive communion. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1, it says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. Speaking of Jesus. But he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, in other words, no question about this, no doubt about this, surely, emphatically, for a fact, he has borne our griefs, every one of them, glory to God, and he's carried our sorrows, every one of them. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. And with his stripes we are healed. Come on now. And with his stripes we are healed. Help me out. And with his stripes we are healed. Now let me ask you a question. I'm not an English major, but is "are" present tense? That means that what he did, as was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, had to come to pass. And so it says here, speaking prophetically, that when Jesus would come, that he would be acquainted with griefs and sorrows, that he would be despised and rejected, and go through all these things. But we cannot take a scissors, or we cannot take a blackout pen, and take this out of the scriptures. Because it says, and with his stripes, we are healed. Sad to say, but many people in the body of Christ know Jesus as their Savior. But there's so many that don't know him as their healer. And all these things were written to tell us what Jesus would do when he came. And Isaiah, speaking by the inspiration of God, the Bible tells us, Scripture tells us, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. For doctrine, reproof, instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God that stays in the Word can be thoroughly furnished or fully equipped unto everything that belongs to you. And I'm telling you here today, healing belongs to each and every child of God, and even those that haven't called on the name of the Lord yet. Jesus already provided healing for everyone 2,000 years ago on the cross at Calvary. Amen. Now, this was prophesied. Now, let's fast forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as we said before, the Apostle Paul, who spent a lot of time with the Holy Spirit, got this revelation from the Spirit of God himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren..." This is the Apostle Paul now speaking by the inspiration of God. He says, "Moreover, brethren," or people that know the Lord or love the Lord, he says, "I declare unto you the gospel." Gospel means good news. Now, later on, when the Apostle Paul talked about how he preached and the message that he preached, he says, "When I came unto you," he says, "I didn't come with enticing words of men." But he said, "I came in power and I came in demonstration." Why? "That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." How do you get healed? How do you get saved? Through the Word of God. It says in Psalm 107 and verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions." Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he puts his word in my mouth so that my youth is renewed like an eagle." Glory to God. That's his word. He sent his word and healed them. In Acts 10:38, when it talks about Jesus, Pastor Page, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, and healing all. He went about doing good and healing all. Glory to God. That were what? That were oppressed of the devil on account of God was with him. How did that oppression leave? Well, 2 weeks ago when Pastor Joel was preaching on Wednesday night, he hit the nail right on the head like he always does. How many of you appreciate our pastor? What a teacher. What a man of God. Amen. But he talked about Mark 6 and verse 5, talking about Jesus. Jesus, the miracle worker, Jesus, the Son of God, he passed on by, and his people all looked at him and they said, that's just, you know, Joseph the carpenter's son. When Jesus was there, listen to this. This is about Jesus. You need to hear this. Some of you that are sitting here right now, you're thinking, why do I need to hear this? Because unless you receive this word, sickness and disease is going to try to knock on your door. It will. If you take to heart what I'm telling you today, it can save you from dying prematurely. I'm telling you, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You come to hear the word of God, not man. I'm not here to be a showboat here. I'm here to give you the word of God that can save your soul, heal your body, put prosperity in your life, give you a strong, solid marriage. You young people, give you the kind of future you want. I'm not up here playing spiritual games. I'm up here to help you. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, that went about doing good and healing all that were, past tense, oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. How was God with him? In Mark 6, 5, it says, he could there do no mighty work except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Who were the them? The few that were listening to him. He wanted to heal them all, but he could only heal a few. He wanted to help them all, but he could only help a few. He wanted to touch them all, but he could only touch a few. He wanted to raise up all of them healed, but he couldn't do it. He wanted to. He couldn't do it. Why? It says he went on and he marveled. Why? Because of their unbelief. So he went about all the villages and the cities, teaching, preaching, and healing. That's how he did it. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That's how Jesus operated. That's how he operates today, through teaching and preaching and healing. You say, how do you know this stuff works? I'm glad you asked that. Because in January the 8th, we started healing school right over here. And there's been a number of people that have walked in there that the doctor said were going to die. And they're not dying, they're living. The doctor said no hope for them. They've been healed as they came and heard the word and got healed, because there's power in this word. Glory to God. Disc popping out of a lady's back, getting up for 15 years every morning with severe pain in her body. And she came and heard the word of God, just kept hearing it, took the tapes home. Listen to the word, got on the confessions, and one day she got up just like normal, started walking around the house, and then she had a brainstorm. She said, wait a minute here, I didn't barely crawl out of bed like I have for so many times, and she was healed by the power of God. Went back to the doctor, and he said, your back looks just like a brand new baby's back. Who did that? Who did that? Dr. Jesus did that, the great physician. Okay, he says, I declared unto you the gospel which I also preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. It'll make you stand up. By which also you are saved. That word saved is the Greek word sozo. You don't have to be a bozo when God wants to give you sozo. If you keep in memory, see, here's how you get the healing. Here's how you stay strong. If you keep in memory. If you stay in the word, you won't forget what you got. If you stay in the word, you'll learn more about what you got. Amen. If you stay in it, it'll make you to stand. He says, which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Sad, but some people do, but not this bunch here. Amen. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He was buried and he rose again. He was buried, but he trusted in the Father, and he believed the Father's word, and he rose again. And listen to me, when he rose again, he rose up in resurrection power, resurrection strength, resurrection wisdom, resurrection ability, resurrection joy, resurrection peace, resurrection power, resurrection, healing. Glory to God. He was raised up in resurrection life. And when he lives on the inside of you, that's what you've got in him. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you're a powerhouse. In him, you're a powerhouse. Amen. Isn't that great? When you got born again, you got resurrection power. Well, if you got resurrection power, it ought to show it. Your life should show it. How do you know if you got resurrection power? Are you happy or sad? Amen. Are you strong or are you weak? Are you positive or are you negative? Come on. Say, I got resurrection life. Say, that's me. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor talked about, you know, rebounding and bouncing back up. That's the way we should be. Isn't that right, Jim? We go down, we just bounce up higher the next time. I've said this for years, that when life gives you a kick, you got to let it kick you forward. Glory to God. When bad things happen to you, you just tell the devil you jumped on the wrong donkey. Stubbornness. Amen. So remember, let's turn real quickly, and we're going to end with this before we receive communion. Turn to Matthew chapter 27 real quickly. Matthew 27, this is where we were leading to. The word will make you stand because Jesus said he would. And in Matthew chapter 27, this is really here where it's talking about the crucifixion. Starting in verse 33. It says, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. They didn't give him a soda. Amen. They didn't give him a malted. Didn't give him a shake. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. They had the gall to give him something bad anyway. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and they parted the garments, and they cast the lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And years ago, I was led by the Spirit of God to go back to this text. And I had never really thought about it before until the Lord just shared with me. That's why it's important to let the Holy Spirit to instruct you, because I needed to receive this. And when I went back and looked at that word crucified, the Lord just made that word crucified stand out to me. And I found out that in the Greek, that Greek word is the word stal, which means to stand up. There at the cross, Jesus wasn't just crucified, Jesus was standing up. The enemy thought he had him. The enemy thought, I got Jesus right where I want him. But on the inside, Jesus was smiling, saying, you know what? He thinks he's got me, but I got him. And what he thinks is a negative, he said, this is going to be the most positive thing that ever happens in life, because what I'm about to do is going to change mankind forever. And Jesus turned a negative into a positive, because he knew that by dying on the cross and by having those stripes on his back so you could be healed, and by receiving the sin that you and I deserved, and going to hell where you and I deserve to go, and paying the penalty that you and I deserve to pay, that he paid for all that, and he took all that. And when he was down in that hole after the third day, when the Spirit of God got a hold of him, he was raised up in resurrection life to give you and I the very same thing. Glory be to God. So when you receive the communion elements today, we're going to go ahead and get ready to do that. I want you to go ahead and start getting them out to take them. Everybody, if you did not get a communion element on the way in, just lift your hand and our ushers will put one in your hand. We want to make sure everybody in here can take communion together with us. But just hold it up. And if you look at the top of it, there's a real tiny little film that has to be peeled back. And if you'll just be careful to do that, the bottom tab is bigger. That one gets you to the juice, but you don't want to do that just yet. You want to take that little film on the top of it and peel it back, and there you'll find your wafer on the top. So make sure if you didn't get one, keep your hands lifted up till they get it to you. Jay, you can start playing if you will. And the great thing about coming to the communion table is that when we come to that table, it's like I said, Jesus is not only our Savior at that table, but Jesus is our healer. And there's many of you that probably at one time in your life you've prayed and said, Jesus, if you're really real and if you're the Messiah, like the Bible says, and the Bible promises us that if I'll call on the name of the Lord, I'll be saved, that you did that. And you received Jesus as your Savior. But you didn't necessarily receive Him as your healer in your heart. You didn't realize that that was one of your benefits. And we're not going to take the time, but I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Once again, this is the revelation that Paul got about communion. And Paul made a powerful statement. In the receiving of the communion, first of all, he tells you to judge your own heart so that you won't be judged. And the reason why he does that is because it's just between you and him. When we sin, we don't need a committee to come tell us. We know. Aren't you glad for that? You can just come to the Lord on your own. But then to remember that his body was broken for you. And when you receive communion, in that instruction that the Holy Spirit gave to Paul in receiving the communion elements, he says, for this cause or reason, and he's talking to Christians here. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. Many, not a few, many. Many are weak and sickly among you. And then he goes on and says, and many sleep. And that word means to die prematurely. They go on long before they ever should have. In fact, the Bible promises us long life. He says, not discerning the Lord's body. And there's two ways that you can take that. Number one is to realize that his body was broken for you and that by his stripes you have a right to healing, which you do. The other part of that is this. The Bible says there's only one God and there's only one Father who's above all and he's in all and he's through all. When we get to heaven, it says it in the book of Revelation. It says that when we're all up in heaven one day, when he wipes away all tears, it says there's going to be people in heaven. Listen to me very carefully. There's going to be people in heaven from every tribe and every kindred and every tongue. In every race. And we're all going to be lifting our hands saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And so he's saying you need to discern that that person on your right and that person on your left and that person in front of you and that person behind you is part of the same body that you're part of. We only have one God, only one Father. He's above all of us. He's in all of us. He's wanting to work through all of us. And the Bible tells us, beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and they love God. He says, he that loveth not, they don't even know God because God is love. And if I describe my God to you, it's real easy. I could say it like this. God is love. God is love, is God. Are you getting it? Is love. That's who he is. So the word says when we come to that communion table, understand that we need to discern the Lord's body, that it was broken for us, that healing belongs to us. Don't let the devil or any person tell you that it doesn't. We just read it in the word. Take God's word, not man's. Amen. Believe the word, not religion. Get you a lot farther down the road. So let's go ahead and lift up this element right here, right now. And let's break it, symbolic of his body that was broken for us. And let's go ahead and partake right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, Father, in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, and every tongue we'll confess that Jesus Christ, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's master over sickness and disease. He's master over poverty and lack. In that name of Jesus, it's above the name cancer. Amen. It's above the name kidney failure. It's above the name brain tumor or any kind of tumor. It's above every name. And so we just thank you, Jesus, that right now by faith, you're not only our Savior, but we receive you as our healer. And we say what your word says, that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Get your cup ready. we're just going to take a minute here. And I want you to go ahead and just examine your own heart here. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means if you're willing to admit to the Lord where you missed the mark, the Lord says, I'll cover stuff in your life that you were missing it on that you didn't even know about. That's how good God is. He says, when you confess your sins as far as the east is from the west, he'll remove it from you. He says he'll take all your sin where you've missed the mark and he'll cast it into the sea of forgetfulness so that your sins and iniquities he will remember no more. So when you confess your sins where you've missed the mark to God, first of all, thank him that you are forgiven according to his word, but then take another step and say, now, Lord, by faith, I forgive myself. And you do it by faith because your feelings have nothing to do with it. So go ahead and examine your heart real quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a new day for some of you today. Miracle worker's in the house. Jesus is in the house. And he's walking right where you are. And he's touching your heart right now. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and partake. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for making our hearts right before you by your blood, Father. And according to your promises, we thank you, Lord, that we leave here in right standing with you, Father, and that every day you walk with us and every day your resurrection power is working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord, that we leave here cleansed and whole, healthy and strong, full of expectation of all the good things that you have in store for us. And Father, I thank you that as we go, we can be of good cheer because your word says that you ever live to make intercession for us. So thank you, Lord, that there's not a person here that you're not praying for right now. They're going to make it. Glory to God. They're going to win. They're going to receive their miracle from you because you change not. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand up?